of the first coming of Jesus Christ, and shall suffer many things and be slain for his people, prophesying of the death of Christ. And behold, an angel of the Lord hath declared it unto me, and he did bring glad tidings to my soul. And behold, I was sent unto you to declare it unto you also, that ye might have glad tidings. And behold, ye would not receive me. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, because of the hardness of the hearts of the people of the Nephites, except they repent, I will take away my word from them, and I will withdraw my spirit from them, and I will suffer them no longer, and I will turn the hearts of their brethren against them. And now, what I would like to introduce here is some sort of comparison between the people of Nephi and us. Just like the Nephites, we were raised with the Word of God. We were raised believing in a Savior. We were raised with no other belief, most of us. Are our hearts willing to receive the Word of God and act upon it? To believe it, to cleave to Christ. Or will we reject him, just like many of these Nephites did? And 400 years shall not pass away before I will cause that they shall be smitten. Yea, I will visit them with the sword and with famine, and with pestilence. Yea, I will visit them in my fierce anger, and there shall be those of the fourth generation which shall live of your enemies to behold your utter destruction, speaking of the Lamanites. And this shall surely come except ye repent, saith the Lord. And those of the fourth generation shall visit your destruction. I want to stop a moment and read a prophecy prophesied upon our people. And it's found in the third book of Nephi, chapter 9, verse 98. Therefore it shall come to pass that whosoever will not believe in my words, which am Jesus Christ, which the Father shall cause him to bring forth unto the Gentiles, and shall give unto him power, that he shall bring them forth unto the Gentiles, it shall be even as Moses said. And it's speaking of a marred servant who shall bring Let me start in verse 96 so that we get an idea about this servant. But behold, the life of my servant shall be in my hand. Therefore, they shall not hurt him, although he shall be marred because of them. Yea, I will heal him, for I will show unto them that my wisdom is greater than the cunning of the devil. Therefore it shall come to pass that whosoever will not believe in my words, which am Jesus Christ, which the Father shall cause him to bring forth unto the Gentiles, and shall give unto him power that he shall bring them forth unto the Gentiles, it shall be done even as Moses said, they shall be cut off from among my people, which are of the covenant. And my people, which are of the remnant of Jacob, shall be among the Gentiles, yea, in the midst of them, as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of the sheep, who if he go through both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. Their hand shall be lifted up upon their adversaries, and all their enemies shall be cut off. Yea, woe be unto the Gentiles, except they repent. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Father, that I will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy chariots, and I will cut off the cities of thy land, and throw down all thy strongholds, and I will cut off witchcrafts out of thy hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. Thy graven images I will cut off, and the standing images out of the midst of thee. Can you imagine the destruction that this is speaking of in our nation if we don't repent? And I will pluck up thy groves out of the midst of thee, so will I destroy thy cities. And it shall come to pass that all lyings and deceivings and envyings and strifes and priestcrafts and whoredoms shall be done away. For it shall come to pass, saith the Father, that at that day whosoever will not repent and come unto my beloved Son, them will I cut off from among my people, O house of Israel. And I will execute vengeance and fury upon them, even as upon the heathen, such as they have not heard. Next verse in the next chapter. But if they will repent, and this is the promise, and hearken unto me, and harden not their hearts, I will establish my church among them, and they shall come in unto the covenant, and be numbered among this remnant of Jacob, unto whom I have given this land for their inheritance. And they shall assist my people, the remnant of Jacob, and also as many of the house of Israel as shall come, that they may build a city, which shall be called the New Jerusalem. And this is a promise unto us. A great promise of mercy at time of destruction. Verse 14, Helaman 5. But if ye will repent, and this is speaking to them, the Nephites, and return unto the Lord your God, I will turn away mine anger, saith the Lord. Yea, thus saith the Lord, blessed are they who will repent and turn unto me, but woe unto him that repenteth not. Sometimes when we allow ourselves to drift from the Lord, we lay aside his word, we stop praying. These words like repentance, like obedience, like thou shalt, they become ugly words to us. They become words of duty and rules and heavy and bitter. But when we think about that Lord who condescended to us, who loved us so much that he came down and he lived the temptations and the sufferings and the afflictions more than we have. And he even allowed himself many afflictions. He allowed himself to be tempted like we are. It says in the Word of God that he was tempted in all ways like we are, that he might be able to succor us, help us in times of need. And he did all that because he loved you. And he loved me. Why wouldn't we repent out of love towards him? Why wouldn't we lay aside the things that don't bring us joy, we think are going to make us happy? When I think about that night that Karina sang about, he came so innocent into this world. He had a lifetime of persecution ahead of him. I think of him in the Garden of Gethsemane and the anguish he felt because of what his people would do to him, that they would reject his word. Why would we reject his word? All that he and many others suffered that we might have it. And yet so often we leave it on the shelf. We may grab it to read one verse so that we feel like we've done our duty. And yet it's such a wealth of information that he has for us that will bring joy to our lives. So much wisdom. Verse 15. Yea, woe unto this great city of Zarahemla, for behold, it is because of those which are righteous that it is saved. Yea, woe unto this great city, for I perceive, saith the Lord, that there are many, yea, even the more part of this great city, that will harden their hearts against me, saith the Lord. But blessed are they who will repent, for them will I spare. But behold, if it were not for the righteous which are in this great city, behold, I would cause that fire should come down out of heaven and destroy it. But behold, it is for the righteous sake that it is spared. We have that opportunity to be the righteous people in this nation, to be the means by whereby God will not destroy it now. Here are the ruins at Yobai in Yucatan. We see some destruction here, but there was much more destruction until each of the Nephites, every one, were hunted down. Verse 18, but behold, the time cometh, saith the Lord, that when ye shall cast out the righteous from among you, then shall ye be ripe for destruction. And I don't know if you remember that this history, but I'll go on to that later. Let's read in Mosiah chapter 13, verses 37 and 38. And this is when King Mosiah, all of his sons desired to serve God, and none of them would be king. And so God gave him wisdom that they should no longer have a king. That if the heart of a king is evil, that he will lead his people into much evil. And so he set up a system of judges, and they appointed righteous judges to judge the people according to the word of God. But he warned of a time when the people would choose iniquity. And in verse 37, it says, "And if the time cometh that the voice of the people doth choose iniquity, then is the time that the judgments of God will come upon you. Yea, then is the time he will visit you with great destruction, even as he hath hitherto visited this land." I see this happening in our nation. I think it was last spring, our president changed his opinion on the marriage of two people of the same sex. And he changed it, many people said, because the opinion, public opinion, had changed. Now there were more, a majority of the people that began to support think it appropriate that two people of the same sex should be allowed to be married. And if the time cometh that the voice of the people doth choose iniquity, then is the time that the judgments of God will come upon you. I'm concerned that our destruction is getting closer. Many years ago, back in the 60s, this choice was made by judges, but it appears that public opinion is even changing now on the killing of babies in the womb. It's becoming more and more acceptable. It's becoming more and more acceptable for certain reasons. Yea, then is the time he will visit you with great destruction, even as he hath hitherto visited this land. Where are we today? By the way, just a small plug for our AVA website. All of these pictures came from our photo library on the website. They're very helpful for preparing sermons that the photos don't have to meet copyrights. But in this picture, we live in a modern society. And I know travel appeals to me. Often when I think of relaxing, I think of taking a trip somewhere. I think of getting on my computer and just exploring. Usually it's news, weather, all kinds of stuff. Spend lots of time on the internet. Should we be concerned with where we are today? I believe we should. I believe I need to be more concerned with my life, with what I spend each day doing. Verse 40, jump ahead. O ye wicked and perverse generation, ye hardened and ye stiff-necked people, how long will ye suppose that the Lord will suffer you? Yea, how long will ye suffer yourselves to be led by foolish and blind guides? Where do we look for our wisdom? Do we pray to the Lord that he'll guide us in everything we do? Do we seek in his word his answers for the things we're facing? Or do we look someplace else. Yea, how long will ye suffer yourselves to be led by foolish and blind guides? Yea, how long will ye choose darkness rather than light? Yea, behold, the anger of the Lord is already kindled against you. Behold, he hath cursed the land because of your iniquity. And behold, the time cometh that he curseth your riches, that it becometh slippery, that ye cannot hold them. It reminds me of our recent the recent 2008 decline in the stock market. You hear so much wisdom from the world that these are just cycles that'll always happen. The stock market will always be here, it'll always grow. But here is a promise to the Nephites that because they would not repent, because of their iniquity, that the time cometh that God cursed their riches and they became slippery, that they couldn't hold them. How many times do we see throughout the Book of Mormon the history of the people that, and in the Bible, that as they praised God, as they looked to him for their guidance, as they were obedient to the wisdom that he gave them, that they prospered. And they prospered with the desire to serve one another, to have all things common, meaning everything that was mine was God's. And it's his people's. And I meet their needs because I love them and I love God. But when they were disobedient, their riches became slippery. Verse 42, and in the days of your poverty, ye cannot retain them. And in the days of your poverty, ye shall cry unto the Lord. And in vain shall ye cry, for your desolation has already come upon you. And your desolation is made sure. And then shall ye weep and howl in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, because of continual rejection of him. They waited too long. And then shall ye lament and say, oh, that I had repented and had not killed the prophets and stoned them and cast them out. Yea, in that day shall ye say, oh, that we had remembered the Lord our God in the day that he gave us our riches. And you and I are still rich. We may not see ourselves as rich, but compare us to most other countries. And even compare us to generations past. We are so rich. I'm sure many of them couldn't imagine the technology, the heat, the computers, the everything that we have available to us. We are rich. So, oh, that we would repent and turn to him while we're still rich. Yea, in that day shall ye say, oh, that we had remembered the Lord our God in the day that he gave us our riches. And then they would not have become slippery, that we should lose them. For behold, our riches are gone from us. Behold, we lay a tool here, and on the morrow it is gone. And behold, our swords are taken from us in the day we have sought them for battle. Much stealing. And that happens today. I had my credit card stolen. Not long ago, a credit card was stolen from transactions. It's just become more and more sophisticated. People may not be breaking in our homes, but it's happening a lot. Happened in the stock market. Many people had all their funds stolen because of a lot of corruption. Yea, we have hid up our treasures, and they have slipped away from us. Where are our treasures? Are our treasures in the things of this world? Or are our treasures in the Word of God? Are our treasures in serving Him? And they have slipped away from us because of the curse of the land. Oh, that we had repented in the day that the word of the Lord came unto us. For behold, the land is cursed, and all things have become slippery, and we cannot hold them. Behold, we are surrounded by demons. Yea, we are encircled about by the angels of him who hath sought to destroy our souls. Behold, our iniquities are great. O Lord, canst thou not turn away thine anger from us? And this shall be your language in those days. But behold, your days of probation are past. Ye have procrastinated the day of your salvation until it is everlastingly too late, and your destruction is made sure. And brothers and sisters, something I want to make clear to you today, we are not at that point. We have an opportunity. If we are not right with God, if we are not so close to Him that we feel His presence guiding us each day, we feel that Holy Spirit that He gifted us with at baptism, if we're not there, we have time now. But we may not have much longer. But behold, your days of probation are past. Ye have procrastinated the day of your salvation until it is everlastingly too late, and your destruction is made sure. Yea, for ye have sought all the days of your lives for that which ye could not obtain, and ye have sought for happiness in doing iniquity. So often we do that, so often. We catch ourselves doing that. Pleasing the flesh. And ye have sought for happiness in doing iniquity, which thing is contrary to the nature of that righteousness which is our great and eternal head. And ye people of the land, that ye would hear my words. And I pray that the anger of the Lord be turned away from you, and that ye would repent and be saved. And now it came to pass that Samuel the Lamanite did prophesy a great many more things, which cannot be written. And behold, he saith unto them, behold, I give unto you a sign. For 5 years more come, and behold, then cometh the Son of God to redeem all those who shall believe on his name. Now, I don't know if we have 5 more years or if we have 1 more year or if we have 1 more month. But I do know because of the signs that our nation begins to, the majority of our nation begins to choose iniquity, that our time is short. Do you believe on his name? I want to read in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." To all people, to you and I. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Let him be your Savior. Let him save you from the sins that so easily beset you. Let him turn your heart and guide you and plant in you the seeds that will cause you to be the man or woman that he has planned you to be. The mother, the child, the father, the grandfather, the man, the woman, that he's called you to be. He has a plan specifically for your life, that if you do the things that he's commanded you to do, you'll have that great joy. As I said earlier, we may have more or less time than 5 years until destruction hits our land. What would you do if you heard this prophecy? 5 more years. What would you be doing now to prepare yourself? We need to take a spiritual inventory of our lives. What are the things that should be in our spiritual house? And are they there? What are the things we should be doing daily? And are we doing them? Do we feast upon his word daily? Second book of Nephi, chapter 14, verse 1 through 4. And now behold, my beloved brethren, I suppose that ye ponder somewhat in your hearts concerning that which ye should do after ye have entered in by the way. But behold, why do you ponder these things in your hearts? Do ye not remember that I said unto you that after ye had received the Holy Ghost, ye could speak with the tongue of angels? And now how could ye speak with the tongue of angels, save it were by the Holy Ghost? Remember, at our baptism, it says we'd be given the tongue of angels. We'd be given the language of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because we were baptized with the Holy Ghost. And he'll give us words to say. Remember what Samuel the Lamanite was told? That to preach whatever God put on his heart. And each one of us has that opportunity to live and speak and do according to what the Holy Ghost gives us if we have been baptized. Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost, wherefore they speak the words of Christ. Wherefore I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ. For behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things that ye should do. Read his word daily. Not only read it, but feast upon it. When you're hungry, when you're really hungry, you feast. You eat whatever you can have in sight. When we feast upon his word, we read it with the intent to fill our souls. Do we pray always? Down at the end of that chapter, but behold, in verse 12, but behold, I say unto you that ye must pray always and not faint. Don't get tired of praying. That ye must not perform anything unto the Lord, save in the first place ye shall pray unto the Father in the name of Christ, that he will consecrate thy performance unto thee. If you're going to do something, pray to God that he'll bless it, that it'll be done according to his will, and that he'll give you the strength and the knowledge and the wisdom to do it according to his way, that thy performance may be for the welfare of thy soul. Brothers and sisters, I am thankful for this opportunity to preach today. To give honor and glory to his birth, we should give him our lives. His life was filled with suffering for us, for his love for us. And we should fill our lives with service to him, for our love for him. May God bless each one of us, that we would be willing and obedient in serving him.